engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. And there are many gospel passages that tell us to be ready. Vigilant, be vigilant. Vigil, to watch, to wait, to keep awake. Meanings of this word. We keep vigil in the middle of the night. The Easter vigil, the Christmas midnight mass, prayer vigils that last into the night. The light is on while it is dark. People are awake while people normally sleep. It's a symbol of life and truth and grace, conquering the darkness of sin and evil and death. Vigil. Be awake. Keep your eyes open. Be alert. Know what's going on. Be ready. Because the Lord can come at any moment. And there are many different ways he comes. He comes through inspirations of grace. Sometimes those inspirations of grace convict us of sin, and all of a sudden we say, "Oh my goodness, I didn't realize how terrible this thing was that I'm doing," or "I didn't realize I wasn't doing what I should be doing." Moments of grace that come unexpectedly. We need to always be ready. Because the more ready we are, the more we're going to respond to those moments of grace and let them bear fruit for holiness and salvation. The Lord comes when he calls us from this life. Again, the teaching here of being vigilant, always being in the state of grace, always being ready, always being in such a stance of peace with God and peace with our neighbors. If you remember your brother has something against you, go first and be reconciled, then come and offer your gift. We have to be in that stance of readiness, always reconciled with all our brothers and sisters at any moment, because the Lord can call us to himself in the next life at any moment. And then his coming at the end of time. We don't know when that's going to be. It could be today. Come, Lord Jesus, we say with yearning, with the church throughout the centuries, throughout the millennia, come. That's how Scripture ends, by the way, at the end of the Bible, the prayer, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And the Lord says, yes, I am coming soon. He has many gospel passages where he tells us to be ready. Remember the wedding guests? Some of them didn't have the lamps had run out of oil. They weren't prudent. They didn't plan. They didn't have the extra oil for their lamps. They had to go get some. And then the bridegroom arrived, the wedding guests went in, the door was barred, and those foolish virgins that didn't have the lamps prepared couldn't get into the wedding feast. The man who built the barns, "Oh, I will store up goods for many years." And the parable says, "This night your life will be required of you. To whom will all this piled up wealth of yours go?" Be ready at every moment. Have our hearts set on the Lord. See, that's where the Lord says, "Gird your loins and light your lamps." So the garments that people wore in Jesus' time, like what I have on now, these mass vestments, long flowing robes, okay. But if you're going to have to run somewhere, if you're going to have to travel, you want your legs and your knees to be free to move, you would pull up the flowing part of the garment and wrap it around yourself so that you're more free to move. Gird your loins. Always be ready at any moment to respond to the summons of the one who comes without notice. This is how, if you go back to Exodus chapter 12, our ancestors the people of God who were given the instructions for the Exodus were told to eat that first Passover meal. Remember what was happening? They were enslaved in Egypt, but God was liberating them. And he said, tonight is the Passover of the Lord. The angel of the Lord will come and you will look at the blood that is marked on your house and spare you, but the Egyptians he will strike down. But be ready, because when he starts striking down the firstborn of the Egyptians, you're going to have to get out of there fast, because the Egyptians are going to realize what's happening, and they're not going to like you too much. You're going to have to get out of there right away. So he said, eat the Passover, but eat it with your loins girt and your sandals on. Now, the significance of that is you put your sandals on when you're going to go on a journey, but when the custom was that when you were in the house, you wouldn't wear the sandals. You'd be barefoot in the house. Remember, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples as they were reclining at the Last Supper. Sandals were not worn inside the house. But the Lord said, when you eat that first Passover meal, put your sandals on, take that garment up and wrap it around you, be ready to run. And he said, eat it with your staff in one hand. A little bit uncomfortable, but the point was made. We've got to be ready to move when the Lord comes, when the Lord calls. And so, brothers and sisters, this vigilance, always being ready for the coming of the Lord, is also expressed in the Gospels in this way. Not only that we're alert that he could come at any moment and we're spiritually ready and we're in the state of grace, but that the master on his return finds the servants doing the work he assigned to them. Right? You know, this is the parable teaching of Jesus. The master goes away for a while. So Jesus has ascended into heaven. Obviously, he's still with us by his spirit, in his word, in the community, in the scriptures, in the Eucharist. He's still with us. But we don't see him walking around like the apostles did, but he's coming back. And so the master goes away for a long journey. Then he comes back. The second coming, we will all see him. Every knee will bend and every eye will see him, even of those who pierced him. And when he comes back, part of vigilance is that he finds us doing the task that was assigned to us, the vocation that each one of us has. He finds us living our vocation, serving and loving the Lord, serving and loving each other, our vocation. And part of our vocation is building up this world in peace and justice and truth and order. And that's where our political responsibility comes in. The fact that we are to have loins girt, staff in hand, ready always to respond to the Lord, doesn't mean we're not paying attention to what's going on in this world. On the contrary, our vigilance means we're paying all the more attention to how we need to be serving our brothers and sisters and our Lord in this world, as citizens of this world, as citizens of our nations, for us in America, as United States citizens, and that we are giving to Caesar what is Caesar's, that we are taking part in the political process. John Paul II, his final encyclical, was on the Eucharist. Remember, he designated a year of the Eucharist. That was his last year with us here on earth. And here's what he wrote in that encyclical. Certainly the Christian vision, he says, St. John Paul II says, leads to the expectation of new heavens and a new earth. But this increases rather than lessens our sense of responsibility for the world today. I wish to reaffirm this forcefully at the beginning of the new millennium, so that Christians will feel more obliged than ever not to neglect their duties as citizens in this world. Notice what St. John Paul II is saying in his final encyclical. The Lord is coming back, but blessed are those vigilant servants whom he finds doing the task at hand, which means working for the improvement of this world, not confusing the improvement of this world with the growth of the kingdom of God, because as the Second Vatican Council says in Gaudium et Spes, sections 36 to 39, those things are not identical, but they are connected. They're not identical, but they're not separate either. It is by building up this world that we bring into the world, with God's help, some measure of truth and life and justice and peace, and those goods will then be taken up and purified and multiplied when Jesus comes again at the end of time. So look, be vigilant, be ready, be working. John Paul II says, be even more obliged than ever not to neglect your duties as citizens in this world. When unfortunately, we've got tens of millions of Christians who aren't voting. That's got to change. And if you're one of them, brothers and sisters, now is the time to repent. Now is the time to say, wait a minute, the Lord gave me a task in this world. He gave me the opportunity to elect my leaders. Furthermore, I want to take into account here the words Jesus says in Matthew 16. Remember when he is asked for a sign, they demand for a sign. Show us a sign. And Jesus said this, when evening comes, you say, the weather will be fair for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret, Jesus goes on, the appearance of the sky, but not the signs of the times. Wicked. A wicked and adulterous generation demands a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. In other words, the message of repentance that Jesus was giving them. Be ready, be vigilant, I'm coming back, turn away from sin, and do the task that's been assigned to you. We have to recognize the signs of the times. That's why we're having this Mass praying for the election. That's why we're praying for our president. If you don't recognize the signs of the times, let me remind you, brothers and sisters, this election is a choice between the culture of life where all people are welcomed, where civil government carries out its duty to protect the rights, the God-given rights of every person, and not tamper with those rights, that right starts with life, and that indeed, to preserve those rights is the very purpose of government. To take them away is to become a tyrant state, and that those are the words of John Paul II in Evangelium Vitae, number 20. It's a choice between the culture of life and the culture of death, which looks at the killing, the violent dismemberment and decapitation of a baby, even in the latest stages of pregnancy, as a good, as a right, as health care, as constitutional, as something we should be paying for. That's what the Democrat Party says. The Republican Party says these babies have a right to be protected. Furthermore, it goes deeper than that. The freedom of the church is at stake. The Republican Party and our current president has been protecting religious freedom in the United States and around the world, instituting new policies for the United States and its workers overseas and also at home to be vigilant, to be alert to the persecution of believers in various countries and to deal with it. And to make it clear to all the other nations of the world that we expect them to protect the God-given right of religious liberty for their people. Instead of killing Christians, instead of preventing them from living their faith. And vigilant here at home, this president we have now freed the Catholic Church and its institutions and dioceses and universities and ministries like Priests for Life and Little Sisters of the Poor. All of us were battling against a mandate that was trying to force us to violate our faith by including abortion in health insurance plans. No, we said, we won't do it. And President Trump freed us from that mandate, whereas Joe Biden is promising to put it back. Be vigilant and see the signs of the times. Wake up. Vigilance means be awake. Don't be asleep. Don't miss what's going on right before your eyes. Don't neglect, as John Paul II says, your duties as citizens of this world. See the problem, be vigilant, and then change it. And we have an opportunity to change it with our vote. Be alert to the signs of the times. Peace in the world is progressing under this president. The nation of Israel, so dear to us, our faith is rooted in it. It's our spiritual foundation, the covenant God made with his people of old. We treasure that. We treasure our relationship with Israel. It's on practically every page of the Bible. A peace accord has been made, first one in over 25 years. Peace is progressing under this president. Pay attention to the signs of the times. Fairness is being brought back into the trade relations that our country has with other nations. Unfair trade relations of the past have left so many of our people destitute, so many of our factories closed, millions of our jobs gone. Does God not care about these things? I wish to reaffirm this forcefully, St. John Paul II wrote, that Christians will feel more obliged than ever not to neglect their duties as citizens in this world. One of our duties is to care for and provide for our families and our neighbors, and that means voting in such a way that we're going to put people in there who can preserve this economy. Under this current administration of President Trump, for whom we prayed during this Mass, we have had more Americans working than ever in the United States history, our entire history. We have had the lowest unemployment rates ever in our entire history. We have had the strongest economy ever in our entire history. We've had 500,000 criminals who threaten our safety, our freedom, our possessions, our lives, our families' lives. 500,000 of them under this president taken out of this country, including 20,000 violent gang members. Do we want them roaming around the same streets that our children play in and the same shopping malls that our family shops in? Or do we want them out of the way? The ISIS caliphate has been destroyed. The world's leading terrorists have been removed. The border is more secure than ever. The military is stronger than ever. We have a new branch of the military, the Space Force. I say these things, brothers and sisters, because our Lord Jesus Christ said, be vigilant. You can interpret, he says in Matthew 16, the weather, the color of the sky. Be able to interpret what's going on around you with the signs of the times. Be aware. On the other hand, be aware that there are those that want to suppress your right to practice your religion. The Democrats take away the right to life. Take away the freedom of religion, take away your borders, put judges on the courts that are going to rip up the Constitution and rip up morality as the church understands it, divesting ourselves of every shred of Judeo-Christian ethical teaching, and in fact introduce chaos and violence and mob rule in our cities, not even supporting those who enforce the law. I don't know about you, but I don't see any option for us who are followers of Christ than to see these things clearly and to speak up. Brothers and sisters, we have a moment of opportunity here to live out the gospel passage we have just heard. The Master will come. Blessed are those who will be vigilant upon his arrival. And then it says he will sup with them. This is an amazing, he repeats it in the book of Revelation chapter 3, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty will have supper with us. Remember there's that other gospel passage where he says, well, the Master comes in and he doesn't say, I will wait on you. He says, you wait on me, he says to the servant. But the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. He's going to wait on us. He's going to sup with us. We're going to recline with him. We're going to be on his throne. That's the new heavens and the new earth for which we long and which we proclaim and in which we hope. The Lord is coming back. May he find us ready, smart, vigilant, attentive, and making the changes in this world we have to make to prepare for his coming. Vote. Vote in a responsible way. And brothers and sisters, get as many other people out there to vote as you can. This is not just our political duty. This is our sacred spiritual duty. May we do it joyfully, and may we reap the abundant fruits of our fidelity. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.